Okay, we're starting at our daf is Gitin Peivav. We're starting at the very last line of Peihem a bit. We'll read the refuah to the Modvar, but Dina Ozavram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmit Banim, Orli Penina Bar Rachel, Frida Chaim, Alka Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Mechai Rut, Yosef Ben Mechele, Bar Rivka, Rafael Yeshua Palak Ben Bracha Bati, Yelmer Bat Chaya, Rina Chaya Bat Shoshana, Tzvi Ben Mela, Yaakov Ben Rosa, the Yilo Nishma Chana Bat Zatara, Bereza Bat Zara. Okay. We're finishing up on this, the text of the get. So we were darshaning all sorts of parts of it. Okay, for those who weren't here yesterday, there's the text of the get on the sheets. They're still over there. I left them out. So if anybody wants to see the text of a get in the translation. I also put up online on the site the translation into English. Here I just printed it in Hebrew, but you can see the translation in English if you could see it online. Miyom Adinan. Okay, why does it say, one of the lines we had was from, okay, so again, this is a part that doesn't appear in the text of the Mishnah, but it clearly the Amoraim had this in their text. This is going back now to Rava. If you remember, the last thing we ended with was Rava had a particular sentence he added, and in that sentence it said that Ech Planya Ba Planya, okay, so and so, Patar Vitarif et Plonita Intite, right, he exempted and let go his wife, so and so. Dehava intite, she was his wife Minka Madinan, right? She was his wife from before. And now he's divorcing her Miyoma Dinan from this day, Ule Olam and forever. So now we're going to say, why did you have to say from this day and forever? So Miyoma Dinan means Lafu came into Rabbi Yossi. Damar Zmanosha Shtar Mochiachalav. Do you remember Rabbi Yossi's opinion that said the date of the get is what's Koveya, and that's why he had all different shitot than other people about it? And if the Zmano Shel Shtar was Mochiach, you wouldn't need to say Miyom Adinan from this day, because it would be clear from the date on the get that it's from this day. So therefore, you have to write from this day, because he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. He doesn't think it's enough just having a date in the Shtar. That's why he has the date, and then it says from this day, and then it's clear that he means from the date written on the Shtar. Okay, but if you hadn't written from this day, we might not know that she was actually divorced from the date on the shtar, because we don't hold like Rabbi Yossi, who says whatever the date is on the shtar, that's the date we assume she's divorced. Ula olam. Now, why does he have to say em forever? And this goes back to something we learned a few dapim ago. La fuke mi debay mine rabbi mirav nachman de amar hayom iat ishti ulamacharat ishti. It's to be yotze from the question the rabbi asked Rav Nachman. Now, interestingly enough, he actually answered the question and said it was okay, but in case someone didn't think it was okay, because this is Rava himself, right? And Rava had answered the question there, but do you remember the case where he said, today, you're my wife, but tomorrow you won't be, I'm sorry, today you won't be my wife, you're divorced, but tomorrow you'll go back to being my wife. And we said there that it means you're really divorced forever, okay? And that's why they have to say, although if you recall, there was a bit of a difference of opinion about whether you're just divorced for that day or the actual divorce takes place forever. This would seem to support the opinion that it really is a get forever, and that's why they're saying, in order to, or maybe you could say, even though it's not clear, maybe. So anyway, he's trying to say that you add la'olam so that it's clear that even if he says it's only going to be temporary, it really is forever.
And that's okay if somebody gets remarried.
If they remarry someone else, then they could remarry. Then they, as long as there's kiddushin, then there's clearly a new marriage, and the get's irrelevant at that point. So this just means until such point as they would remarry or not. Okay, and this is all to make sure that the husband, right? So Rashi says, even though he already answered the question there, Rashi says he was metaken this so that. No one. This is all to prevent a husband from coming and saying this get is not a good get. Okay, so again, we've seen cases where they kind of make it more difficult for the woman. This is obviously to protect the woman from the husband trying to say the get's no good. Gufo shall get shichur. Now we're going to get to what does it say in a get shichur? Okay, meaning for an eved or a shifcha in this case. Hareat bat chorin, hareat latzmech. Okay, that's what we saw in the Mishnah. Itkin Rav Yehuda Bishtar Zvini de'avde avda. This is a shtar that he's selling in Eved. Bishtar Zvini de'avde. Okay, if you're having a, if you're selling your eved to someone, this is what you should say. Okay, this is different from freeing him. Okay, avda dinan mutzdak la'avdo. Okay, this eved is ready for work. Upatir va'atir min chirure uminalule uminarure malka umalchata. This is all sorts of things that he's trying to say. If he's selling an eved to someone else, he wants to say that this guy is free from any sort of, you know, nobody has claims to him. The malchut doesn't have his head, you know, about to be killed. As when you sell someone, you have to, you want to show that this person can actually work for you. You won't have a problem, right? That in 5 days from now, they're going to say, oh, sorry, you didn't realize this guy was judged and he's supposed to be killed. And here you paid for the guy and you didn't know that. So you have to spell things out. This is, in this case, this is to protect the buyer so he doesn't have an issue. Urishum di'inish lo it Elohi. There's nobody who has like a tag on him, you know, that he's owned by somebody else. Umenukemi kol mum uminshchin dinafik ad titzar. Chadit ve'atik. Okay, what does this mean? He doesn't have any mumim, okay? There was an issue with avadim that they should have like boils on their face and they would look unpleasant, right? You wanted them to look proper. So what's he saying? They don't have any mum on them that's a noticeable mum. And any shchin, any boils that would come out, now this, I saw a few different opinions whether titzar is 4 years or 2 years. What he's going to say is, I'm assuming responsibility, the seller, for any mum that appears within the next 2 or 4 years. Some of the mafreshim explained that the way boils would work is they would be under the surface and then they would come out. So it was more like he had to make sure that there was nothing there that would appear within. That's why the 2 years sounds a little, makes a little more sense in terms of that. To say 4 years, you know, anything could happen in 4 years. But that there was some sort of, there was an understanding that it could be the shchin would come out over time. So he has to make sure there's nothing there now that might come out over time, and therefore he commits to that. Or else the sale's no good. Right, because who wants an eved with boils on him? It's, you know, it's not a good thing. Chadit va'atik, that means a new one or even an, you know, there's an old one or even a new one. Chadit is chadash and atik is old. Maya sute, if you do get these boils, what's the cure for them? Amar baye, ginbira umarketa ukvirta v'chala dechamra umishcha dezeta v'natpik chiyura v'shaife le begad fa da'avza. Okay, what is this? Okay, all these things. Let's see if I remember them all. Ginbira is ginger. Merkita is the stuff that comes out of the when you make the silver into coins. There's like, or I guess not even into coins, just into anything. There's like the psolet that comes off of it, the bad stuff. So that's the merkita. And the kvirta is sulfur, and chala dechamer is wine vinegar, and mashka dezeta is olive oil, and natpik is, how do they translate it? I forget. It's what? Naphtha, but it's what?
Isn't that what mothballs are made out of?
Is that what mothballs are made of?
I forgot.
I forgot what it is exactly. It's some sort of, doesn't say by you something better? Naphtha.
Sounds good.
It
sounds like a different
way. Right, here it says neft lavan. Right, some sort of neft. How do you translate neft?
It says crude oil.
Right, crude oil. Yeah, I saw that. Right, crude oil. Okay, and then shai fele begad fa da'avzin. You put it on yourself using a feather of a goose feather.
You can't touch it with your hands.
Right, you don't want to touch this stuff. It's gross. Okay, and that will cure your boils. Okay, good eight
soot. Something similar to this, I think, was actually used. It's not so, they don't use it then. I don't think it's.
Oh, you think it's things we use now?
It's not, they don't use it now, but my grandparents.
Your grandparents would use something like this? What? Of which kind of stuff? Similar things? Interesting.
For boils or for something else?
These things are like.
Right, some of the things you can imagine. Olive oil, you could see would go into something maybe, or I don't know. Anyway, okay, go look at your creams at home and see what the ingredients are.
There's also sulfur-based creams too.
Right, sulfur-based creams. I'm sure it's some of these ingredients are things that would be used. Makes sense. Okay, now we're getting to a very famous Mishnah about Shlosha Gitim Psulim. Vim Niseit Havlag Kasher. There's three Gitim, Okay, immediately the Gemara is going to obviously say, what do you mean? We've seen others that are like this and they're not listed here. Okay, but
these are the ones that if you're married, the blood is kosher.
Well, so they're going to try to distinguish, okay? That's the whole first chart here, between what are the differences between these cases, because we're going to find some other cases where the blood is also kasher. So they're going to try to say, what's the story? So these are three gittin that are psulim, okay, which presumably means they're pasul midirabanan, because im niseit havlag kasher, right? If you get remarried, and you marry someone else, and you have children, thinking your get is a good get, and you have children, your children are not mamzerim, so the assumption is it's a pasul midirabanan. We're going to talk about the fact that we saw some other ones, like the get yashan, and the get kereach, and the l'shlom malchut, and all those others that were also pasul midirabanan, and the vlav was kasher, or maybe there was a machloka whether the vlav was kasher, but we're going to see, in all those cases, you can already look at the chart, at least chachamim say that the vlad is kasher, and yet, why are we saying only these three and not those? But in the meantime, let's understand the three cases, and then we'll get to the Gemara after. Katav b'ktav yado, by the way, we've seen this Mishnah quoted. Katav b'ktav yado ve'ein alav edim. If it's written in the husband's handwriting, but there's no edim on the get. Yeshal, so right, what can you see here? That since the husband himself wrote it, it must be that he intended to give her the get, right? Even though there's no edim. So his handwriting is enough to be something, but it's obviously not enough to be good enough because Chachamim Rumin Takein, you need edim. Yesh alav edim, or maybe even midoraita, you need edim, right? But since there's ktav yado, that kind of counts as a little bit more. Yesh alav edim, let's say it does have edim, but ein bo zman. It doesn't have a date. And what did we say? Then when we're talking, you have to have his mom beget, right? Either Mishum Znud or Mishum Peirot. Remember the two different options? Yesh Bozman, and that's what we saw this quarter, by the way. Yesh Bozman, what if it has the date? The Ein Bo Ela Eid Echad, okay? But there's only one witness signed. Hare Elu Shlosha Gitim Psulim V'im Niseid Havlag Kasher. Notice there's some repetition here. It started with Shlosha Gitim Psulin, and now it frames it by ending with Shlosha Gitim Psulin, Vavlag Kasher. So the Gemara is also going to ask that. Why does it say Shlosha Gitim in the beginning and Shlosha Gitim at the end? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af al pi she'ein alav edim. Oh, sorry, this is Rabbi Elazar. Af al pi she'ein alav edim, ela shenatnu la bifnei edim. Okay, even though there aren't edim, but this is the famous Rabbi Elazar. That's how we know it's Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Elazar, remember, edim is sira karte or edim chatima karte. Rabbi Elazar holds edim is sira karte. Finally, at the end of the Masechet, we're going to get to Piskei Halacha about do we hold like Rabbi Elazar or not. I won't give it away yet, but although we did talk about it in the past, if you remember. But Rabbi Elazar says, even if it doesn't have edim, as long as you gave it bifnei edim, it's kasher. Okay, as long as Adim is Sira were there and saw it, even if there's no Adim signed, Vigovemi Nechasim Mishuabadim. This is a very strange line. What do you
Why
mean? You don't
say Rabbi Eliezer or not?
Why does it say that? Probably because when they copied over the Gemara by hand, what would they do? They write abbreviations, Reish Aleph. So the person wrote Rabbi Eliezer, who was kind of fixing up, you know, for the printed edition. And then we didn't know well enough, although this is a very strange mistake, because everybody knows Rabbi Elazar, so it's a very strange mistake. It's usually the people who got it ready for printing weren't the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, but they did know something. And it seems a little strange in this context. But, yeah, but it does, you know, there are errors. I'm just looking at the note here. Right, now it seems, I don't think anybody thinks it's, it's really Rabbi Eliezer here. Can't imagine.
In that case, it's so obvious. You can't change it.
Ah, yeah. So this is like a classic, okay? Once it was printed, it has like a certain element of, you know, don't touch. So anytime they want to change, they write it in the footnotes, but people are scared to actually touch it and change it, okay? I was teaching a sugya once about the... Okay, I don't really have time. But anyway, I was using three different editions of the Shulchan Aruch. And each one, I happened to have been in the library in Givat Ram, and I was in the rare book section, and I happened to have taken some really old version. And there it had some old thing that when the whole calendar changed, the Gregorian calendar, so all the dates changed on the Tkufa, when you start saying B'tein Talu Matar, and it was December 4th or 5th, you know, so originally it was October 23rd or 22nd. And then because of all the leap years and they changed the calendar at some point in history, they skipped 11 days. So it originally said the 23rd of November, but they took it out because it didn't make any sense to them anymore because it wasn't the 23rd of November, it was December. So they changed it, and in some of the versions they took out the words, and in some of the, like in the version today, you won't see November at all. But in the old edition, they still had it, and it was in parentheses, you know, to take out. So anyway, it's just interesting. Sometimes they do, but in general, they don't like to change it. Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Alfa Pishen Alav Edim Al Shanula, okay, Kasher V'Govem Min Chasim Meshu'abadim. Now we have a very strange thing. What are we being Gove from the Chasim Meshu'abadim? So two different interpretations here. Either it means based on this get, she can be Gove her Ketuba from the Chasim Meshu'abadim, right? Money that's the lien property that he sold, because remember, you can collect your Ketuba from the Chasim Meshu'abadim. Or maybe he's talking about, and in other shtarot, like if you had a shtar malveh, okay, like a halva'ah, you had a shtar halva'ah, you took out a loan, and you brought the shtar and said, look, you owe me money, he could be goveh, even from nechasim ashrabadim, even if there weren't edim signed on it, but there were edim that saw, right, edim asira, that saw them pass it over. So there's a machloket about whether we jumped here to regular shtarot, or maybe we're talking about her ketubah. That's the problem, obviously, arises from the fact that a get is not, there's nothing to be goven, right? There is the ketubah, but it's not actually from the get itself. It's true, you can use the get to be goven, but anyway, that's the machloket here. And why does he say this? Again, we've seen this before. She'ein ha'edim chotmim ala get ela mipnei tikkun ha'olam. The edim's signature and the get are not critical to the get itself. It's only so that if the edim asira were to die or to go abroad and we couldn't find them, we'd have something else to rely upon. Okay, so the first question, as I said, is v'tu leka. There isn't anything other than these three cases there where the vlad is, where the get is pasul, but the vlad is kasher. So following the chart here a little bit, v'ha'ika get yashan. Right, there's a get where if the husband slept with the wife after the writing of the get, before the giving of the get, right, then the get would be pasul. So ha'tam lo tetze. Ha'cha tetze. Ah, here's the difference. In our Mishnah, what does it say? Lo tetze. Okay, now it doesn't exactly say, right? It just says the vlad is kasher. It doesn't say whether he has to, right? Let's say before the child's born, we realize the issue. Do we make him divorce her? Even after the child's born and we realize that she's going on this get, right? We take out someone's, the Baal starts saying, oh, there's really no good get. They go and they look and they check and they see, oh, you know what? There's only one aid or whatever. There's no date in the get or whatever it might be. So does she have to get divorced from her new husband? So the Gemara says, no. So in this case, she'd have to be tetze. But in the get yashan case, lo tetze. She doesn't have to get divorced. Okay? So now they say, and we're going to see this, that there's actually a machloket. If you noticed, our Mishnah didn't say whether she has to get divorced or not from the new guy. So there's going to be a machloket amoraim. We're going to see on Amabet about whether she has to be tetze or not. So they say, if you're going to say that in our Mishnah, okay, you can follow in the chart now. If you see in the tetze or lo tetze section, there's two options. There's two lines there. So if you're going to say that she has to get divorced, well, then that's the difference between get yashan. Get yashan doesn't appear in this Mishnah because she doesn't need to get divorced, meaning it's not exactly the same. But hani chalaman damar hacha tetze. That's if you say here that she has to get divorced. El aman damar hacha lo tetze ma'ika lememar. If you say lo tetze, then basically everything will match up. Both get yashan and shlosha gitin lo tetze. Both of them, the vlad is kasher. Both of them, the get is pasul. So what's the difference? So what are the answer? No, there is a difference. Hatam tinaseh lechatchila. Hacha diavad. The difference is that in the case of the get yashan, she can even get married if she... What's the issue? You can't get divorced with a get yashan, but if you're already divorced, then you can get remarried based on it. There's like two shlavs of bidyevet. Right, the first bidyevet is, one is you can't get divorced lechatchila. But if you already did get divorced, then you can already stay divorced and go get remarried. That's what the get yashan. But with this case, if you already got divorced, we still don't allow you to get married based on that. But if you already got married, then we don't make you get divorced. Okay? So there's two different shlavim, and that's what they say the difference is. So now the next question. Pa'ika get kereach. Remember, that's if you have this get mikushar where you fold it over, and each time you fold it, you tie it. Each aid signs on the fold. You need a minimum of three. This is a get mikushar. If you're missing one of the signatures on one of the folds, that's a get kereach. And what did we say there? Right? So there, they're gonna, also the get is pasul. So what do they say? Oh no, there's a difference there, because hatam of vlad mamzer, hacha vlad kasher. In a get kerech, we said that the vlad is mamzer. But now the Gemara is going to say, well, we didn't. Not everyone agreed to that. Okay, you can already see that in the chart. Hani chala Rabbi Meir. Okay, whether or not you read this, whatever, but Rabbi Meir there said, Da'amar kol mishanemi matbeah shetivu chachamim begitin of vlad mamzer. That was Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Meir had the shita. If you change anything from what the Rabbanan say, the vlad's going to be a mamzer. So if you go according to Rabbi Meir, what do you say? These three gitin, even Rabbi Meir would agree that the vlad is kasher. Whereas the other cases, like the get kerech and the shlom achut, there Rabbi Meir is going to say the vlad mamzer, and that's the difference. But ela la rabbanan. But if you're going to go with shitat rabbanan, then what's the difference between this mishnah and that case of the get kerech? Ma'ika lememar. So now we're going to say again, hatam teitze, hacha lo teitze. In that case, she has to get divorced, and in this case, we'll say she doesn't have to get divorced. She already got remarried. So again, remember we said, it's not clear from our Mishnah whether she has to get divorced or doesn't have to get divorced. So that works fine to say, remember, we're trying to find, according to Rabbi Meir, we already found the difference. The difference is Havlad Mamzer versus Havlad Kasher. If we don't hold like Rabbi Meir, we hold like Chachamim, we're still trying to find the difference. So if you look at the bottom part of the chart, the very last one, right, you could say, well, three Gitin is Lo Teitze, and the Get Kerech is Teitze. Okay, but that's only going to work, right? If you say, Hani chalamanda amar hacha lo teitze, that in this case you don't have to get divorced. Alamanda amar hacha teitze. If you say in the cases of three gitin you have to get divorced, ma'ika lamemar. So what would you say? You'd have to say, bimakushar lo kamayre, that our Mishnah is talking about regular gitin and not gitin that are those folded over gitin. And as you just say, our Mishnah wasn't relating at all to a case like that. Our Mishnah was relating to regular cases of gitin. Okay, not a great answer, but again, we did find possible answers. It's just it had to be lefi shita masuyam, either Rabbi Meir or lefi shita that lo teitze in this case. Next case, v'ha'ika shlom achut, where there we say, right, the get is pasul, but we're going to see whether the vlad's kasher or not. But so again, what are we going to say? Hatam in the shlom achut case, teitze, she has to get divorced. Hacha lo teitze. Okay, but now they're going to say again, Hani chalamanda amar hachalo teitze. Ela lamanda amar teitze ma'ika lamemar. Right, so now what are we going to say? Ah, mokim lake de Rabbi Meir. V'hatam avlad mamzer hacha avlad kasher. We'll have to say, in other words, in this case they have no choice but to say, the only way to find a difference is to hold like Rabbi Meir. In the last case, we were able to find another possibility. But in this case, according to, again, we can read it as our case is teitze, and in that case, lo teitze. Right? Did I say that right? Or hacha mandam or hacha lo teitze? Right. I wrote it wrong in the chart. It's the flip. It's lo teitze. Right. That in the case of shlom achud, it's teitze, and in our case, it's lo teitze. I just flipped it in the chart. You have to fix it. But in the case of if you say lo. Lo teitze in our case, then you're... Oh, no, I wrote it right. No, I wrote it flipped. If you say... 1 second. Hatam teitze and hacha lo teitze. Right, ours is lo teitze and that's teitze. Right, the problem is going to be, I wrote it the flipped. If you say in our case teitze, then you're stuck. Because in both cases teitze, then you'd have to say... that it only goes according to Rabbi Meir. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the minyana. Minyana de resha lemiute mai, minyana de seifa lemiute mai. Remember it said three gitin upsulim, which means nothing else? So what? And it said it twice. So the first time it said it is going to be very clear. Minyana de resha lemiute hane damaran. The first time it says three gitin and no others, what did it mean? It meant to get rid of the get yashan, the get kereach, and the shlom achut. But minyana de sefa lemiute, so what's that coming to do? Lemiute, ha detanya hamivi gemi midinat hayam, natsnu la velo amar la b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, yotzi v'havlab mamzer, divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim ein havlab mamzer. Ketzad yaseh, Yitlena heimena v'yachzor v'yitinena la b'fnei shnayim v'yomar la b'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam. What do you see here? That this case would be a case where you have to fix it, right? The other cases we said, well, the vlad's kasher. But in this case, Right? Chachamim say the vlad is a mamzer, but she has to re-get the get, right? You have to give it to her again. Okay? And therefore, that case, right, this goes back all the way to the beginning of our Masechet, where if you gave her a get from Medinat Hayam, you'd have to say those words. If you didn't, you'd have to re-give the get in order for it to be good. And that's what this three gitin at the end is coming to say. It repeats it to exclude this case, which is a little bit different than the other cases. Okay? Katav biktav yado ve'en alav edim. Remember it says in the Mishnah, okay, one of the cases is he writes it in his handwriting, right? It's written in the husband's handwriting. He wrote it, but there's no edim. So Amarav ktav yado shaninu. Rav says it has to be written in his handwriting. Sounds very strange, right? We just said it's in his handwriting. So Ahaya, what's Rav referring to when he says it's talking about ktav yado? Remember, there's three cases in the Mishnah. So Ilema Aresha, if it's on the case of Katab Ktav Yado, Pshita. Ktav Yado Katana. It already says it's written in his handwriting. Ve'ela Amitziata, what's the case of the middle case? It was Yesh Alav Edim Ve'ein Bozman. So obviously, right, Hare Yesh Alav Edim. And therefore you wouldn't even need it to be written in the husband's handwriting. Okay? So the first case can only work if it's in the husband's handwriting because there's Eda Echad, right, plus his Ktav Yado. That's enough to say, right, it's kasher mi b'dieved. But the second case, it can't be the unique ktav yado because there's edim. What's the problem with it? The problem is that it doesn't have a date. It's not going to help you whether the husband wrote his handwriting or not. Ela a seifa. It must be the seifa. Yesh bo zman ve'ein bo ela eid echad. So when it says in the seifa, it has a date, but there's only one eid, what are they going to say? The dafka ktav yado ve'ed. It has to have the ktav yad and the aid. In other words, it's not enough to just have the zman and the aid. It also needs to have been written in the husband's handwriting. That's what Rav comes to be machadesh. Aval, ktav sofer, the aid, lo. Okay, but if you had the writing of the sofer, it was the handwriting of the sofer, and the aid signed, that wouldn't be enough because you'd only have one the aid signature. Ushmuel amar, afilu ktav sofer the aid. Even the ktav sofer and eid should work. Why? Shehare shaninu. We have a Mishnah. If you remember this case, we have the Mishnah. Now, if you recall, we didn't understand this Mishnah according to the pshat because we said it made no sense. But Shmuel right now is reading it according to its pshat. What did it say in the Mishnah there? Ktav sofer ve'eid kasher. If you have the handwriting of the sofer and the aid, it's kasher. Now, if you remember, that was that whole complicated case. And what did we say there? It must be that the sofer also signed. Remember, then there was the whole concern. Maybe the sofer wasn't the one who was supposed to have signed, and they just felt bad embarrassing him. Okay, but we'll leave that aside right now. But what Shmuel's saying, it says in the Mishnah, ktav sofer ve'ed is kasher. So it seems to imply that you wouldn't need the ktav yad of the husband if you just had the ktav of the sofer, and then you had eid echad signed. And he understands his Mishnah is if the sofer didn't sign, that would be a good get. And that's what it says in the Mishnah. Okay? So, Birav, what would Rav say about this? Midame, ha tam tinase lechatchila, ha ha diavad. You can't say that this is the exact same case because that Mishnah said, okay, it didn't say havlad kasher, it said the get is kasher. If it says the get is kasher, that means she can go get married on. With this kind of get lechatchila. And in our case, we're saying she can't get married lechatchila, right? She could only, if she's already married, can she get divorced. So comes Rav and he says, clearly, this Mishnah is not the same case, as our last case in our Mishnah. Because otherwise, the halacha doesn't match up. So it can't be. So therefore, and now, what do we say? So basically, Rav has to say that that Mishnah is understood, okay, I charted it out also there, that there's ktav yidei sofer and eid echad in our Mishnah, right? And in our case, Rav says the vlad is mamzer, because that's not the case our Mishnah is talking about, right? Because our case is it's ktav yad of the husband. If it has eid echad and the husband wrote the get, that's enough to say it's a good get. Whereas Rav thinks if the sofer wrote it and eid echad signed, that wouldn't be enough. What does he do with the Mishnah where it says Ktav Yidei Sofer and Eid Echad? He says, oh, we must not be able to understand that Mishnah Lefi Pshuto. It must be talking about some other case. And that we saw all these explanations in the other case. That really the Sofer had signed and there's a separate concern there. Okay. So now Shmuel says, no, both are talking about the same case. So now Shmuel has a problem. If they're both talking about the exact same case, Rav just said, but in that Mishnah it's kasher lechatchila, she can go get married. And in our Mishnah, she can't go get married based on this. So how does Shmuel resolve that? Ushmuel lo kasha, ha basafra de mufhak, ha basafra de lo mufhak. What does he say? There's a difference between, depends who the sofer is. If it's a sofer who's a real special sofer, and everybody knows that he's, you know, a perfectionist, let's say, or he's, you know, a top-notch sofer, you know that he's only going to have written the get if the husband actually said to write the get, and that there's not going to be any confusion here. Okay? And therefore, we're going to say that she can go get married lechatchila. If it's a sofer she'eino mufhak, so according to Shmuel, a sofer she'eino mufhak is still pretty good, but we can't rely on it. She could get married lechatchila, but if she already got married, we're going to say the vlad is kasher, because he is still a sofer. Soferim in general are machpid, and that's enough to go by. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we're going to go back to what Rav said. K'tav yado shaninu. Okay, or they changed this to, right, some people say, it's just V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay, which is the same thing. Okay, you know, he said just like Rav. Amar le Rabbi Elazar. Okay, this is not Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. This is the Emora Rabbi Elazar. Hare yesh alav edim. So again, the same thing happened, which is he thought, then when he said, when Rabbi Yochanan said, just like Rav said, it has to have tav yado, he said, what do you mean? It already has edim. What do you need it to be written, right? He thought he was talking about the middle case of the Mishnah. He's like, it already has two edim. Why does it need to be written in the husband's handwriting? So Amar le aseifa. No, I was talking about the last case. Zimnin Amar Rav tetze. Zimnin Amar Rav lo tetze. There were certain cases where Rav said, now we're going back to the whole question of, with these gimel gitim psulin, does she have to get divorced or does she not have to get divorced, right? The whole Mishnah, the topic was the Vlad, if she already has a child. But it never said about what her status is, her marital status. Do we make her get divorced from him or not? So Amar Rav, Rav says that sometimes she has to be tetze and sometimes she doesn't. What's going to be the case? Ha ketzad. Yesh labanim lo tetze. Ein labanim tetze. If she already has children, then she doesn't have to get divorced. Because if we force her to get divorced after she has children, what's going to happen? Even though, technically speaking, these kids are not mamzerim, that's what it says in the Mishnah, but Rav is concerned that people will call them mamzerim. Right? We know this very much to be the case, that, you know, when there's a chashash, people don't really know the halacha, and they'll start bad-mouthing these children and saying they're mamzerim. Matim Marzutra Bartuvia. Marzutra Bartuvia says, no, I have a problem with this. First, we have to read a little till we get there, so hold off on trying to understand yet what the problem is. V'kulan shayuba and safek kiddushin or safek gerushin, hare elu chotzot v'lo mityabmot. If there's safek kiddushin or safek gerushin, we're not sure if this, now what's the issue? Let's say you have two, right? The guy has two wives. One of them, when she falls to yibum to the brother, he dies without kids. One of them is Isur Erva with the brother. We just saw this case the other day. Okay, she's potrod, right? She's poteret, all the other tzarot, right? Any other wives he has now don't have to do yibum or chalitza. They're totally ptuchot. But what if that wife was either safek married to the first husband, the one that has the isur erva? Let's say she's safek married to the guy, or maybe safek divorced from the guy, and we don't know is she actually married to him or not. So if we're not sure if she's actually married to him or not, we don't know is she poter the other wives. Okay? So only because she's married to the guy is she poter the other guys, right? She's married, we have wife with husband, but we don't know if they're really wife and husband. If they're really wife and husband, then she's poter at all the tzarot. But if they're not really, then she's not. So what do they do? Since it's safek, and always in a safek case, we don't allow them to do yibum because it's an isra to marry your brother's wife if there's no chiyuv yibum. But they have to do chalitza because they have to get out of it in case there really is a chiyuv. So now they're going to say, Ketzad safek kiddushin. What's the case? Zarek la kiddushin. He threw her the money or the shtar or whatever it was. Safek karov la, safek karov lo. In other words, we're not sure whether it was closer to him or closer to her in terms of, we saw this case before with the get, whether she was actually zochet, you know, she acquired the money. And obviously something happened, right? Let's say he throws her the ring and then the ring disappears. We can't find it. Okay, right. This happens sometimes, right? You lose something all of a sudden, right? It gets thrown somewhere, it bounces, and nobody knows where it went. So the question is, right? They don't know whether it landed closer to her and she was, you know, became hers for that moment, even though now she doesn't have it anymore or not. Zeo safek kiddushin. Safek Gerushin. What's a Safek Gerushin case? Katav biktav yado ve'en alav edim. That's like our case, right? He writes in his handwriting, but there's no edim. Or yesh alav edim ve'en bozman. Or yesh bozman ve'en bo ela ed echad. All these three gitin. Hare zeh Safek Gerushin. So now we're going to say, v'i amart lo teitse. And if you're going to say she doesn't have to get divorced, right, meaning from the new husband, that means we view this gerushin as a good gerushin. So then, sarata ati liyabume titya vein bakach klum. Right? In other words, if we view her as divorced, that she doesn't have to get divorced from her next husband, that's a good marriage, then we view it as a good divorce. And then, her tzara should be able to do yibum. So how can you say, lo teitse? The fact that it says the tzara has to do chalitza and not yibum, can't do yibum, right? What do we say? So, em kachlum, chashash adirabanan hi. So they say, clearly, the chashash is only midirabanan, and therefore, one second, is this the answer, or is this the... One second. Right, it's just a chashash chachamim, but really, right, what they're trying to say is really midoraita. Right, all these problems that they get are only problems midorabana, but midoraita it's a good get, and therefore she should have to do yibum, and that's his question on Rava. So he disagrees with Rava, and he thinks clearly she has to be teitse. So here you see the machloka whether teitse or lo teitse that we referenced earlier in the daf. Levi amar laolam lo teitse, v'chein amar biyochanan laolam lo teitse. Now we're going to have a slew of opinions. V'chein amar lehu Rabbi Yochanan lebnei Rabbi Chalafta demin huna, or I think there's something else demin rei chefa. Hachi amar avuchon laolam lo teitse. Okay, so now he says this is what your father said that laolam lo teitse. Bikartzit sheba amir ena poselep mechatat. Okay, what's that? Okay, this is some very strange case. Mechatat, we know this is for the paraduma. The water has to be mayim chayim, fresh water. So if an animal put the water in its mouth and spit it out, that would possel the water. But a kartzit, that's ba'amir, we're going to explain what this is in a minute, if it puts it in its mouth and spits it out, it's not a problem. What's the concern? The concern is that when you put something in your mouth and spit it out, why does nobody ever want to touch your water at that point? Because it has your germs in it, because you're spitting it out, some water from your mouth, some saliva went into the other water, and that possels it. Now the water is no longer fresh water that came from the river, right? But now it's got someone else's saliva in it. But a kartzit, which we're going to talk about in a minute, is some sort of a bee, okay? My kartzit, I'll read it right now. Amar Abaye, didavta debene kipe. The kartzit sheba amir is this dvora, bee that flies in between the sheaves of the, you know, in the fields. And the assumption is that she doesn't have any saliva. And therefore, when she puts the water in her mouth and spits it right back out, it's coming out the exact same way as it went in. Okay? And therefore, it's good. This has nothing to do with our issue. It's just another thing that he said in the name of his father. They said in the name of his father. Mativ Rav Daniel, the truth is, I thought to myself, maybe somehow there's some connection and that's why they brought it up here. I didn't come up with any, but feel free to think about it. Mativ Rav Daniel Barav Katina, kol ha'ofok poslim b'mechatat, chutz min hayona, mipnei shemotzetzet. All the ofot or posel mechatat, if it puts it in its mouth, except for the yona, because it's motzetzet, it just puts it in its mouth and spits it right out. And if the kartzit was also going to be okay, then it should have listed it here. So how can you say the kartzit is not a problem? It's not listed here. So what are the answer? Lo psikale. It's not a clear-cut thing about the kartzit. There's some kartziot yes and some kartziot no, and that's why he didn't list it. He was listing cases that were clear-cut. The yonah is always the case, but a kartzit, it depends. Digdola lo pasla, uktana pasla. Okay, it depends whether it's a small one or a big one. V'ad kama, what makes it small or big? Am Rabbi Yirmi, Avitam Rabbi Yami, ad kezayit. So ad kezayit, until the size of a kezayit, this kartzit is going to be posel the water. Once it's a gdola already, it's not, and that's why he didn't mention it, because it was, you know, sometimes you mention things that are very simple to mention. This was complicated because it had this opinion, that. Okay, new section. Now we're going to get to the piskei halacha about Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar begitin. Now notice what he says. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar as relates to get. Okay, this is the psak halacha in the name of Rav. Ki hamarita kamei de Shmuel, when they brought it in front of Shmuel, amar, af bishtarot. Okay? Not only do we hold like him when it comes to get, but we also hold in all monetary documents. Birav sever bishtarot lo? Could he really hold that we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar bishtarot? Hakatani, didn't it say in the Mishnah, v'govemi nechasim shuabadim? Okay, and this goes according to the interpretation that the nechasim shuabadim mentioned in the Mishnah is if it was a regular shtar chol. So doesn't Rabbi Elazar hold this across the board? So if Rav Paskin's like him, why doesn't he Paskin like him across the board? So they're saying, no. Rabbi Elazar tarteamar. It's true that Rabbi Elazar said that's the halacha both by get and by shtar shtarot. But Rav, Savar Kavate Bechada, Upagale Palagale Bechada. Rav only held like Rabbi Elazar when it comes to get. But he decided he didn't want to hold like him when it comes to other shtara. V'chein amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halachak Rabbi Elazar begitin. Okay, now we're going to see a whole slew of people who paskin like Rabbi Elazar begitin. This is strange, by the way. Generally, we have a psak. Right now we're going to see a whole list of people. Rabbi Yana Amar Filu Reach HaGet Embo. Okay, this Rabbi Yana is talking about a different case. This is if you have a get without signatures. Okay, it doesn't even have a Reach HaGet. Like it's not. Remember, we said Reach HaGet means she can't marry a Kohen if she had something like this. It's nothing. So now they say Rabbi Yana lately to Rabbi Elazar. Right. In other words, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar that it's the Ede Mesira and not the Ede Chatima. Hachi Kamar LeRabbanan. Sorry, Hachi Kamar, this is what he says. L'Rabbanan afilu reach haget enbo. Now, according to those who disagree with Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't even have reach haget. In other words, to those who say, Eidim Chatima Karate, they would hold that if there's no Eidim signed on the get, then it's nothing at all. It's like a meaningless document. B'chein amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina amar Rish Lakish, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar b'gitin, v'Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu reach haget enbo. So again, we're going to say, Lema Rabbi Yochanan, late to Rabbi Elazar. We're going to hold that because he says it doesn't even have Reach HaGet, if it doesn't have signatures, meaning that the signatures are what's important, and then they can't imagine, does Rabbi Yochanan really not hold like Rabbi Elazar? You understand that the whole Nitiyah was to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar, so how could that be? So Hachi Kamar, again, we're going to explain the way we explain Rabbi Yanai, L'Rabbanan afilu Reach HaGet Enbo. Okay, in other words, he's saying that to those who disagree with Rabbi Elazar, there's not even Reach HaGet, but he obviously, the Gemara assumes he would also hold like Rabbi Elazar. Shalach le Rabbi Abba bar Zavta le Mari bar Mar. By mine, he asks him a question. By mine, me Rav Huna. Halacha k Rabbi Elazar, begitin, o ein halacha. They asked him, is the halacha like Rabbi Elazar, is it not? Adahachi nach nafshe to Rav Huna. Okay, they asked him to ask Rav Huna, but in the meantime, Rav Huna died and they never got to ask him. Amar le Rabba Birei, okay, but Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, said, Hachi Amar Abba Mishmei Derava, Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar Begitin. Okay, he passed down his father's name, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. V'rabotenu habiki'im bidvar halacha mishum Rabbeinu, Amru Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar Begitin. Okay, we're going to see in a minute, who are these Rabbanim that know the halacha? But they said, in the name of Rabbeinu, the halacha is ke Rabbi Elazar. Who is this? Ja'amar Rav Chama Bar Guria Amar Rav. Okay, they passed down the name of Chama Bar Guria and the name of Rav, Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar Begitin. Okay, Ika da'amre, some people say it differently. B'chavireinu habikim b'dvar halacha v'talmidei Rabbeinu mishum Rabbeinu amru halacha ke Rabbi Elazar Begitin, and that they weren't talking about Rav Chama Bar Guria and the name of Rav, but they were talking about da'amre Rav Chista, amre Rav Chama Bar Guria, amre Rav, halacha ke Rabbi Elazar Begitin. Okay, so it was just a matter of who was the one who said it. V'chein ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, amar Rabbi Elazar, amar Rav. Okay, this is Rabbi Elazar the Amora, not the same one that we're talking about. Also said, Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar begitin. So that was a very long list of all the people who hold like Rabbi Elazar. You have to wonder why it was important to the Gemara to list so many people, right? To show that it was so clear cut. Okay, but if you notice, most of them say the Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar begitin, but not Bishar Shtarot. Even though Shmuel did say it was Bishar Shtarot, but most of them, first of all, a lot of them are passing down in the name of Rav, so it makes sense that they're saying that. But we actually paskin like Shmuel, that it's also b'sharah. Because we paskin like Rav b'dine Isurim, and we paskin like Shmuel b'dine Mamonot. And since the machloket about this is b'dine Mamonot, we paskin like Rabbi like Shmuel, who holds like Rabbi Elazar, also b'shar
shtarah. In the shtar, yeah, the netina just as important as the get in as it is in
no,
the
No, it's not. So that's the sense. Right. That's what we discussed previously, which is the reason to make a distinction between get and shtar is the whole important aspect of the get is the get is affected by the netina. And that's why the Edei Mesira are very critical, according to Rabbi Elazar. But what's interesting is Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's even by Shar Shtarot, it's not just the netina issue. What's the issue for him? It's that you have to, someone could write a shtar and sign it, but if it's not given, it's useless, right? In other words, you have to actually pass over the shtar. There has to be effective. So even though you don't really need a netina, but it also, with netina is sort of like a kinyan, right? In a regular shtar.
Why there's this machloket?
Exactly. That's why there's the machloket. Because is it just unique by netina, or is it not necessarily, okay? And that's what we're going to see. Okay, tomorrow we're going to talk about yitim that get mixed up. Okay? Two wives, two husbands, same names. They don't know whose is who. Who got, if she got the right get, the one that was written really for her, or not the right get. Right? It's kind of like the Shlomo Amalek and the babies got mixed up.
So they had the fly.